You're listening to The Sports Rabbi, hosted by Josh Halichman.
We're back with the Sports Rabbi, Josh Halichman. Welcome aboard to the Sports Rabbi Show. We bring you the best of Israeli sports all the way up north in Aria, down south, Eilat, and all the great cities in between, Tel Aviv, Jerusalem, and many, many more. And if you like this podcast, and I know that you do, make sure you subscribe to us, leave us a five-star rating, write us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Check us out on Twitter, X, at the Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com, for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver it to you in both languages. Yes, we do. And of course, there are tons of articles, every game, every article, European, local. We have it all in Hebrew and English. It's all there. We're going to talk all about what just went on in Israeli sports over the past week. And I got to tell you something, there was plenty that went on this week. There was no lack of European action for sure. Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball in action, Maccabi Tel Aviv soccer in action, and we have Hapoel Jerusalem, Hapoel Tel Aviv, Maccabi Haifa, Hapoel Holon. We're going to talk all about that with Roei Jankelovich of Israel Sport. How are you doing today, Roei?
I'm good. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing well here in Jerusalem. Roei, we got to start off with Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball because they are, as we said before the show started, the big winners of the week. Really, in Israeli sports, they were kind of the only winners of the week. 84-80 over Red Star Belgrade in Stark Arena in Serbia. A massive comeback win. Maccabi Tel Aviv down by 18 points at the beginning of the third quarter. 18 points to Yanis Varopoulos' crew. Iago dos Santos ripping Maccabi Tel Aviv to pieces. The yellow and blue looking weak in the first half, not driving to the basket, just being afraid to go inside. And then all of a sudden, they start chipping away and chipping away and chipping away. Bonzi Colson, Lorenzo Brown, Wade Baldwin, John DiBartolomeo with a massive three-pointer gives them the 84-80 win. Wow, Roei, that was quite the game. You know, and I think that really, Oded Katash, he said in the post-game remarks that it was like, I told the guys at halftime to just relax. And I guess they were really tight going into that game. They knew that they were the better team. Five players were missing from Yanis Varopoulos' roster, including, of course, Milos Teodosic, who ripped Maccabi to pieces the last time they played. And Maccabi Tel Aviv is the better team. I mean, he must have been pretty stark with them at halftime. I said, guys, just relax. They relaxed, and it was clear that that was the story in the second half. And off they went, a heroic win for Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Yeah, and a deserved win, and a win which showed character of the team that they're able to come back. And Josh Nebo had a monster of a game. That's something which was amazing in that key fourth quarter. You saw what he did, all those slam dunks, offensive rebounds, defensive rebounds also. So
he was tremendous. He was absolutely tremendous. I don't know what to say. I mean, he was just tremendous. Josh Nebo, you know, they're talking about what's going to be with his contract next year. I mean, there's going to be people lined up to pay him big money because there's not a lot of big centers.
Well, Maccabi should pay the big money.
The question is, does Josh Nebo want to stay with Maccabi? And, you know, I didn't want to bring this up so early in the podcast, but the question is Maccabi going to be playing their home EuroLeague games come October?
It's a big question. That's something we don't know.
It's very unclear. And let's be honest, the North with the war situation can open up at any time. The South is pretty much fine. We see what's going on there. Nothing else is going to really, you know, happen other than a hostage deal, if anything. But the question is the North. And we're going to have to see. I didn't want to get into it so early in this conversation, but you know, that's an issue here with Maccabi Tel Aviv and re-signing their players. Do they want to be nomads again and have to play Israeli League games in Israel and their EuroLeague games in Serbia, wherever else they're going to play. I don't think they're going to want to do that, some of these players. And if that's going to be the case, they're going to have a tough time holding on to some of the guys. Some of the players they'll be
And
able to keep.
finding
Some of them might,
new ones.
right, to take their spot. Well, they'll find players because there's going to be
Yeah,
players that are in the Euro
but not
Cup.
stars their caliber, let's say.
Right. But the Wade Baldwins of the world are not going to sign with Maccabi Tel Aviv. I mean, he's under still another year contract. Lorenzo Brown, there were different reports this week that Maccabi wants to let him go. I don't believe, I don't know. I just try not to read this stuff and believe what's going on, what's not going on. But let's take a look what happened in the game, Roe. Maccabi Tel Aviv, 14 points for Wade Baldwin, 18 points Josh Nebo, 23 points Bonzi Colson. Of course, Nebo also had 13 rebounds. Antonius Cleveland, 6 points, but he was terrific defensively, two steals. He was fabulous. And I've got to tell you this, people are saying the biggest mistake that Maccabi made was, why did they sign Joe Thomason? What purpose does he have, right? Everybody's asking. And I told one of the reporters last night, I said, it was the best signing that could have happened for Maccabi. You know why? Because it lit a
Nope.
fire underneath of Antonius Cleveland's
Oh,
butt.
right.
That's
Yep,
what
yep, yep.
happened. It lit a fire under his tuchus. That's what happened. That is, and since Thomason has joined Maccabi Tel Aviv, Antonius Cleveland's been terrific, Roy. I mean, he has been superb. I mean, every game the guy is coming in. He almost played 20 minutes. He was spectacular. He shut down the smaller guards, and if it's Thiago Santos or anybody else he wanted to play, he was just superb. James Webb was okay in his 11 minutes. Lorenzo Brown, 10 points in 31 minutes, five assists. Wade Baldwin, 14 points in 34 minutes with 7 rebounds, 5 assists. It was excellent. Menko doesn't play. John D with 15 minutes, but he was fantastic. Even though he finished off with a minus five, he was great. He played good defense, hit the big three. Rivero was not with us last night. I don't know what happened with him. 12 minutes, 2 points. He was not very good. Jake Cohen hit his 3-pointer at the start of the game, played 10 minutes. He was fine. Thomason, of course, doesn't play. Nebo, 30 minutes, we spoke about. Tavir Blatt, he was wiped out of the rotation early, Roy.
Yeah, he was.
He hit 1 3-pointer, and that was it. I mean, he went 1 for 2, and he never played again. So I don't know if that was because he wiped him out of the rotation or he's injured, because we know that he's been having some kind of knee issue.
Right.
And there's
I would say it's
Congestion.
another injury. I
Yeah,
wouldn't rule that
it
out
could
then.
be. I definitely wouldn't rule it out. Maccabi hasn't said anything, but to me, it's odd to see him only play 5.5 minutes in a EuroLeague game, 3 points, and he was okay. And Bonzi Colson,
Yeah, he was.
31 minutes and 23 points. Look at Red Star Belgrade. They had a, you know, listen, they had a, they did not have a very big roster. They're very, very small. Yago DeSantos, 20 points, but he got smashed by Bonzi Colson, which was inadvertent. It was not on purpose. Gave him a concussion,
Oh yeah, I remember
and he broke
that
his nose.
smashing.
He broke his
Yeah.
sinus, apparently, so he's probably going to have surgery.
Oh.
And that's really too bad because Iago DeSantos is having a great year in the EuroLeague. And that was it. Adam Hanga, 13 points. And Joel Bullenboy was not very effective, 11 points. 12 points, Shavonte Smart. And that was it. Roe, Maccabi Tel Aviv, another win. Three in a row now. They have five to go. If they win these five games, okay, they finish at 21 and 13. Is that enough to get into the sixth spot?
Difficult because at the moment we see they're, I think they're 2 games behind, if I'm not
Yes,
mistaken.
you're right. You are not
So,
mistaken. It's going to be a tr it's, and that was my point. It's going to be trouble. I mean, the sixth place
exactly,
right
because
now, Panathinaikos, Olympiakos, Fenerbahce, all at 18 and 11. And Maccabi Tel Aviv is 2 games behind. Bologna plays tonight. They can also be 18 and 11 after that game. Baskonia is ahead of them of the same record at 16 and 13, and they're still in ninth place. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, they're in ninth place, Roy. I don't think they're going to win their next five games. I think they're going to lose at
no.
least one, probably to ba Barcelona on the road. The other games they
Agreed.
should win, but again, they never play well in Bayern Munich. They play very poorly in Germany when they play Bayern. They should win Villabrunn without a problem. They have Valencia, it should be a win. Milan should be a win. That Barcelona game. But the only thing that is a saving grace here, Roe, is that some of these teams that are ahead of them have to play each other. And Maccabi doesn't have to play
Okay.
them.
Yeah.
So they're going to pick up losses. Teams are going to lose games. is it going to be enough to slide into that sixth spot? I don't. I
hard
just
to,
it's
hard
hard.
To
it's
tell.
hard. If they lose one game, I don't see it happening. I thought that, you know, 20 games may be enough, but the fact is that 21 games may not even be enough. That's the crazy.
Exactly. It's. I think it's the gap in the EuroLeague which has grown. The gap between mm-hmm. the big teams and the weak teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's why these good records. That's what's going on in the EuroLeague. You're having the strong teams and the weak teams. There's no more like middle. So Maccabi are in the middle, but midfield of the league, but they'll be in the play-in. That's what I think.
Yeah, the play-in they're basically in right now because they're three games up on Valencia, who are in 11th place. So, and the three games up on 10th place Partizan, and Partizan would be in the play-in. So they're making the play-in. The question is where are they going to make in the play-in? And they should get into that seventh spot. That's what I think, if they keep winning. Even if they, 20 wins should be enough, but it may not be. But as long as they finish at seventh or eighth, is a much better situation than ninth or 10th. So we shall see. Roe, they were definitely the big winners. Maccabi Tel Aviv, Oded Katash. I have a bunch of articles online. You can check that out. Maccabi Tel Aviv Football Club, they were not the big winners, Roe.
Oh, boy.
They came into the second leg of their UEFA Conference League round of 16 tie with Olympiacos, leading 4-1 after a 4-1 victory in Athens and Piraeus, leaving Olympiacos and their brass shaking their heads. They didn't know what happened. How in the world, Roe, does Maccabi Tel Aviv get into this game in Novi Sad and literally look like a team that is afraid to play football? They give up three goals in the first half, so it's now 4-4 on aggregate going into the second half, into the break. And then Maccabi pulls a goal back by Aaron Zahavi on a penalty. And they just, you know, they give up another goal a few minutes later. That's 5-5. And then once they hit the overtime periods, you knew that that was the end of Maccabi. They looked so done, so well done by the time they got to that. And you could see the Olympiacos had all the steam. They scored in the 93rd minute. They scored in the 103rd minute. Bye-bye. So long. Farewell. Robbie Keane, Maccabi Tel Aviv Football Club, crashed out of Europe in, I mean, this is historical proportions, really.
Exactly. It couldn't be worse. And, of course, owner Mitch Golder saw the game.
I know.
So that's another.
I know.
And Maccabi are using the excuse of Milson being injured. That's coming out, and that's not supposed to be. That's not. It's preparation. I think that Maccabi came in the wrong state of mind. That they have to defend. You can't come and defend in a soccer game from the beginning. When you come with such an attitude of keeping the score as it is, you're going to lose. We know that. We've seen Israel national team playing that way. And unfortunately, I think it's because Robbie Keane is still a young coach. He's not a coach with experience. And here we saw it. He played against a coach who's he's not well rated, but he's very experienced.
Spanish.
The Spanish coach. He coached Sevilla last year to the Europa League final.
Yeah, he knows also a little bit. He knows a little bit about football.
Oh, yeah. And he even coached Sevilla at the beginning of this season in the Super Cup. So he was fired because Sevilla started the season really badly. He got to Olympiacos. And I think they were shocked that they lost 4-1. But they knew they have the second leg. And in the second leg, they'll do it. And they were confident they'll do it. And they did it. For Maccabi, it's a huge blow because it's also a moral blow. Because losing 6-1, this is something which can have an effect on the league.
Yeah,
and we will see what will be on Sunday against Hapoel Haifa.
You know, now it's going to come in, and I wrote about this in my Shabbat Shalosh piece. There's a mental aspect of the game. Now, you know, I didn't necessarily write about the Maccabi Tel Aviv soccer, but it really applies to them. I was talking more about Hapoel Jerusalem and Hapoel Tel Aviv. And listen, Maccabi Tel Aviv basketball last night, to be able to come back from 18 down in an arena that they blew a 24-point lead to Partizan Belgrade a couple months ago is really tremendous. I mean, the amount of mental fortitude that they had in that second half. And you could hear after the game, Josh Nebo said he was tired about three times. I've heard him speak all season long saying how he's not tired. And he was wiped. I mean, they put in everything, and not just physically, but also mentally. Is Maccabi Tel Aviv, I think Maccabi Tel Aviv Basketball Club, if you look at all the other teams in Europe, and we're talking about Hapoel Tel Aviv and everybody else, Maccabi Tel Aviv's mental state is far more superior. And these guys are EuroLeague players. They're far more superior than these other teams. I mean, Hapoel Tel Aviv, and we'll get to them in a minute, how they just totally, you know, blew themselves up. Hapoel Jerusalem went into that game against Peristeri and didn't show up. And Hapoel Holon had a big lead that they could have, you know, could have had destiny in their own hands, should have they kept double digits, and they blew their lead. They ended up winning, but, you know, they have a slim chance to make it through, but they would have had a bigger chance if they would have, you know, would have not blown that lead. Now, Maccabi Tel Aviv soccer, where is the mental state? Were they not prepared mentally for this game, Roy?
They were not prepared mentally, but that I don't understand why they were not prepared mentally, because they have a good coach, and the coach is supposed to know how to prepare them. So I don't know where they fell. It's hard to understand what happened there, because usually you prepare your players for the situation and you tell them, you know, that the team is going to come and attack. And they said they don't want to concede a goal at the beginning, and they conceded that goal. So unbelievable. It's still shocking that they lost at that proportion.
Terrible. I mean, really, to lose 6-1, 7-5 on aggregate, how do you give up so many goals? Now,
first of all, they hardly were able to attack, and they didn't. Hardly crossed.
Of course, midfield.
Midfield, it was.
I mean, how much? It was. You don't blame Roy Mishpati for this loss.
No, I don't blame him at all. Not at all.
How do you feel if you're Roy Mishpati, the goalkeeper, and your team doesn't show up?
Nobody.
They left you to hang out to dry. Think about that for a minute. I mean, like...
Exactly. And in one goal, which I think it was the fifth goal, I could see that Eran Zahavi was standing in front of Mishpati, blocking him from seeing the ball even, where there was the mix-up. I think that was already in extra time. So there you can see that it's everybody made mistakes. Mishpati was not at fault in any goal.
I know. It's crazy. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's absolutely crazy what went on in that game. And folks, if you could see the highlights of this, you'll just be stunned and shocked. I mean, it was just, you know, I'll tell you what, boy, when that game hit the extra time, I was like, oh, man.
I mean, I knew it.
We all knew. I think everybody knew it. I think we all knew where this was heading. Now, it was funny because...
I knew at halftime, I had the feeling. I was telling my friends, it was going to be over.
It's over. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine if you were a fan and you were there? Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I don't know how you feel. If you're now Robbie Keane, you have a game against Hapoel Haifa coming up on Sunday night, which is, you know, at home. Hapoel Haifa has been a surprise package. They've been very, very good this season. Ronnie Levy has been playing very well.
Very good defense. Cherafi called up to the national team.
Yeah, they're playing very well. What is going to be with Maccabi Tel Aviv? Do you think that they're going to be able to put this loss, you know, out of? I mean, I assume he's going to start guys that didn't start. You know, I think he's going to have an upheaval of the starting 11, I would think. What are your general thoughts?
I think he needs to play a different team. First of all, the players are tired. And secondly, it's Maccabi spirit. Maccabi Tel Aviv must win the game, but I don't know how they'll be able to come out of it. Sunday's game is one of the most important games they've had and the most important now for the title race.
Yeah.
Because if they lose this, Maccabi Haifa, the championship is waiting for them.
Yeah. No, this is a critical moment for them. I My gut is that they're going to be fine.
Yeah, so do I think so because they have depth.
Yeah, that's they have a lot of players. They have a lot of players. That's my gut is that they're going to be fine. They're not going to fall apart. I mean, they were given a gift by the by the Israel Football Association getting those points.
Yeah, but Maccabi Haifa will have that point given back
also. Of course. So we'll see what happens over there. Now let's talk about Maccabi Haifa. They put on a very respectable performance against Fiorentina in Florence in a very hostile environment. There were plenty of Pro Hamas protesters that were there. There were issues with the security guards on the field against the Maccabi Haifa team and staff from the reports that I've been reading and seen.
Yeah.
It was not a fun place to play. They drew 1-1. They scored very late, very, very late in the game, I think in the 88th minute. A respectable draw. Unfortunately, Fiorentina did what they had to do to make it through to the next round. They didn't do anything more than doing what they had to do, Roy.
Exactly. And that 4-3 win away from Fiorentina, that's what gave them the qualification. Maccabi Haifa, at the end of the day, had a much better showing than Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Crazy, as it sounds. I mean, how many people thought Maccabi Tel Aviv was already into the quarterfinals?
I think 95% of people. Only the coach and the staff of Olympiacos were sure they'll overcome it, and they knew it.
It's really, I have to give a lot of credit to to Haifa. Masai Diego's done a very good job.
He's underrated. He's
done an excellent. It's not the fact that he went in to replace Barak Bahar. It's not easy. And there's expectations. I think a lot of us felt that. Well, if he's going to be a disaster, it's easy to get rid of him because, he came from the youth department and he came in after Barak Bahar, so you don't want to really put in a big-time coach after Barak Bahar and then have all kinds of issues. I think he surprised many. I don't think any of us really understood how good a coach and manager, they're not just a coach, a manager, how good a manager he is, Roy.
Exactly. He's able to continue from where Bahar left off, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's really, I don't know what else to say. I think he's just done a wonderful, wonderful job. And unfortunately, they were bounced.
Bounced out with pride. No,
yes, bounced out with pride. They were bounced out with pride. If they would have made it through, Fiorentina is playing at Victoria Pelsen in their quarterfinal, and Olympiacos is playing Fenerbahce. So that would have been interesting, obviously. Interesting ties, no doubt, especially if it would have been an Israeli team against Fenerbahce, and what would have happened with that game.
The Maccabi Haifa tie is flattering, meaning it's a team which they could pass.
Yeah, they could have passed. Without a question, that's a team they could have passed. And if they would have passed Pelsen, they would have gotten the winner of Club Bruges or PAOK, which is also
amazing.
Right. Yeah, the other side is Lille against Aston Villa, which is much harder. Okay, both Lille and Aston Villa are excellent teams, right? I mean, so even Fenerbahce is going to give you a tough time.
I think Olympiacos can go far because we have to remember that the final is in Greece. And after they came back from this 4-1, they're going to lose to Aston Villa or Lille, but Fenerbahce, I think they're going to beat them.
Yeah. Of course, we're here with Roy Jankelovic, just Real Sport, talking about the basketball, soccer, Israeli sports action. Let's take a look at the other games, Roy. Hapoel Tel Aviv comes up short in Euro Cup play. Unfortunately for them, they had a very big lead.
They were up by 21,
against Besiktas, right? Yeah, they had a very, very big lead. And they let it slip away through their fingers, and they fall to Besiktas 94-89. Historical victory for Besiktas. They look fantastic. They're going to go on and play Bourg, who defeated Neno Ginzburg at Promethean 95-82. And I would not be shocked if Neno Ginzburg will be the next coach of Hapoel Tel Aviv starting next season. I think that this was a crushing blow for Danny Franco, who has not coached well in Europe. We know that, Roe, that he's had very little success. You know, these are nice. It's nice to get to these points where you're playing in the or around the 16 and quarterfinals. That's very nice, but you need to take it to the next level. And he also was unable to do that with Hapoel Jerusalem. He won the first title ever for Hapoel Jerusalem domestically, and he deserves a lot of credit. But so does Dante Smith, Lior Eliyahu, and Yotam Halpern. You have to understand he did not have success in Europe with Hapoel Jerusalem, and I think that this kind of it doesn't matter what will happen. I think with Hapoel Tel Aviv, they have 8 foreigners, I believe, on their roster, 7 or 8 foreigners. They have way too big of a roster. Of course, now Jacobin Brown's going to be out for at least 6 weeks. Who knows if he's ever going to come back to play basketball with a patellar tendon tear, I believe. He has, on one hand, it's an embarrassment of riches. On the other hand, and I've said this so many times early, less is more. And
yep,
when you're playing with such a large rotation in Europe with so many foreigners, and you have excellent Israeli players in Bartimore, Idan Solomonson, and Tomer Ginat. I know Gil Benny's now hurt, but just didn't manage his personnel properly. They just did not. Danny Franco did not manage his personnel properly. Yes, there are 2 more titles. There's the league and the State Cup sitting there. Mentally, I mean, if you're a Hapoel Tel Aviv player, now I heard Bartimore, who did his podcast right after they lost with Dor Micha. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that yet, Roy.
Didn't.
Okay, but definitely a podcast to try to listen to. Dor Micha goes into a lot of subjects, including some of the controversial ones. Bartimore doesn't, you know, he alludes to the Beşiktaş game, doesn't go into it at all. So mental fortitude wise, I think he sounded pretty much over the loss, but there's got to be some, you know, Roy, what do you make of this team? We're going to see them on Saturday night against Hapoel Jerusalem, who also lost in Hungary to Peristeri. It was a home game, and they were never in the game. That was they never were in the game. They went down early, and they lost 76-61. Offensively, they were awful. They looked terrible. And it's another case, less is more. There's an embarrassment of riches, and they don't know the coach is having trouble trying to find a way to manage the roster. I mean, at some point, maybe there's just too many players. Are there too many players in certain positions? Are there, what are your thoughts about both these two teams?
I think what you said about there are too many players in the same positions in both teams, it seems. So, whoever brings the players doesn't, like you said, less is more, doesn't think it out. Because when you have so many players, it causes friction and the mismanagement, meaning that you're unable to field the right player. Mm-hmm. But with Hapoel Tel Aviv now, their situation is not so bad because of the injuries. So I see them overcoming it. But with Jerusalem, it's more a mystery because we have to remember it's Jikic's team. And these players are, he brought them and he built a team in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And his defensive mind. So that's something which is tough for any coach.
It's very hard. Is Ken Saros a good coach? Is he a bad coach? I don't think he's a bad coach.
I think he's okay. I think he's a good coach.
I think he's fine. But it's like he adopted a team that was not built in his eyes, and that's. That's very tough. It's very tough. And I think the players have been super professional. I don't think that anybody's tried to throw him under the bus, comparing him to Jikic. And we've seen in other years of the Bull Jerusalem, there were certain players that definitely threw coaches under the bus. if you remember after after Piaggiani left and Fotis Katsikaras was
Yeah.
there, there were a number of players that had, very little respect for him. That is not the case whatsoever. The players are professionals. Something's not clicking. Again, there's just something not clicking. And the same thing with Hapoel Tel Aviv. In general, the players are good guys. Like, there's no real problem player there with Hapoel Tel Aviv, right? There's no bad guys on that team.
Exactly, the problem player left.
Right.
We know.
So, I mean, there's no issues. And it's hard. It's hard to manage the roster. Now, when you look at, when you look at a team like Maccabi Tel Aviv, it's clear the hierarchy. And I know that Kansouris used that word to me a couple of weeks ago, that there's a clear hierarchy. There's no clear hierarchy in Hapoel Jerusalem right now. I mean, it's just like there's just too many players all over the place. And Maccabi Tel Aviv hierarchy is clear. You know which five players he's going to register, Oded Katash, for a important Israeli league game. You know the five players. It's going to be if as long as nobody's hurt, right? He's going to register
Exactly.
Wade Baldwin. He's going to register Lorenzo Brown. He's going to register Bonzi Colson. He's going to register Jaziel Rivero, and he's going to register Josh Nebo. Those are the five guys. Now, again, Cleveland had some excellent moments. Webb had some excellent moments. Thomason, still has to get into it, but that those are the five players that are going to play. They played against Jerusalem. You know what they're you know exactly how they're starting, and he uses the same kind of mixture in the EuroLeague games. And Jerusalem is having just a it's hard. There's no question. It's very hard to go between the Israeli League and the Champions League, and it's the same case for Hapoel Tel Aviv, which now they're knocked out of the Euro Cup. I do believe Hapoel Jerusalem's going to win this
Yeah.
week, and they're Karşıyaka, they're going to beat Karşıyaka. They're going to advance. Hapoel Holon, again had a really tough game. They won, but it was a slim victory, and it's not going to be enough to go through because AEK is 0-5, and the chance of AEK winning a game against like
None.
10, I think who is AEK playing? I don't even remember. AEK is playing. AEK is playing. That's not Murcia. Oh, they're playing Prometheus. AEK is playing. The chances of AEK winning, though it's a Greek derby. So, maybe. And it's a home game for AEK. Maybe. Of course, I don't know if the fans are allowed because of what happened last year. But, anyways, you know what I mean. It's a tough situation. A couple things here that just crossed the wire, Roey, of interest.
Yeah.
Maccabi Tel Aviv have announced the three players that will not be dressed against Afula is Riviero, Bonzi, and Lorenzo, which is fine.
Okay.
That's
Okay. Fair.
that's fine. I have no issue with that.
I thought they
Oh,
would
I
give
thought he was going to
Nebo.
arrest Nebo. The way Nebo was talking
Exactly.
yesterday, I thought he was going to
Exactly.
arrest Nebo, but I guess he wants Nebo in there. So that's one thing. Here we go for the Seagal for Hapoel Jerusalem, just announced right now. Speedy Smith is not going to play tomorrow. He's getting rest. Chris Johnson, Metichah B'Sharir HaTaumim, the hamstring. And
Yep.
so those two guys are going to be out for the game. And Hapoel Tel Aviv, I don't know if they've announced yet their.
They seem to have pretty.
Idan Salmonsson is sick, so he's not going to be a part of the game. The five players that are going to play are John Holland for the foreigners, Kyle Alexander. They're going to have Brian Angola, Will Cummings, and Jalen Horde. So obviously no Jacoven Brown. He's injured. No Des
He's gone
Wells,
through.
which you got to figure they're going to release. I would think they're going to release Des Wells. I don't know exactly what happened there. I thought Des Wells was going to be a key contributor, but Will Cummings is a great player. We saw that's one thing. Will Cummings was fabulous in that game. Roey, what other little topics? I think we should say Manor Solomon is
Oh yeah,
not healing well, and
which is
this is
sad
not good. Yes, it's sad. It's
for his
exactly
career.
yeah.
Forget the
His
national.
career. I don't. His coach said that there's no real progress in his injury. This is really serious. Then, if he's gonna have to undergo another surgery, I don't know. I mean, it's really a sad state as to what happened here with Manor Solomon. Next week on Thursday night, Israel national team in the playoff for the European Championship. Roey, maybe we'll do a show earlier in the week and we'll preview that. Talk a little bit about the national team. We'll go through the roster and stuff.
Of course.
Oh, that's right. When are you leaving for that? I know we're
on Monday.
Live and you're leaving on Monday. So hopefully we will figure out a way to do it. Roey, sure. As time is running out on us, where can people reach out to you?
Yep. On Twitter at RoeyJ, R-O-I-J-Y, on Israel Sport, www.isport.co.il, and on Facebook and Instagram, Roy Jankelowitz.
Of course, me at The Sports Rabbi, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, sportsrabbi.com for the latest and greatest news, both in English and in Hebrew. We deliver to you both languages. This was great. Roey, I want to wish you a Shabbat Shalom to you and yours from the Holy Land of Israel.